Hi, this is Bob Enyart. At Real Science Radio, we have a great science store. You can get great science materials from us, DVDs, debates, books, online, realscienceradio.com. Click on the store or by calling us 1-800-8-ENYART.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, Answers in Genesis, they've come out with their latest edition of Answers Magazine. This is the April through June 2013 edition, and it's great.
It is great, and they've got an article early in the magazine on this Bible movie that just came out that smashed all kinds of ratings. It was the number one show.
And it's the number one rated
on the History Channel. So it really put the History Channel pretty much, firmly on the map. I mean, everybody's heard of the History Channel.
But history is his story, right?
God's
story. Mm-hmm. God made us. Jesus Christ. History centers around him, B.C. and A.D. I mean, we date our checks and our newspapers and our web pages with 2013. Almost the whole world does that. Mm-hmm. And 2013 years since what? Well, the intention is since Christ was born.
Yeah. So I know on the day that it aired, it was the most watched program. I don't know what the numbers were, but mm-hmm. I actually watched the miniseries. You know, overall, I thought it was actually pretty good. I mean, it definitely had its flaws, you know, something produced by Hollywood.
Yeah.
But it was surprisingly lots of quality things. For example, the things that we would really like. In the very start of the show, the creation week and a flood, a global flood, and the creation week was a literal week. It was 6 days.
Fred, I didn't see this, so you have an advantage on me, but we heard that you can get it on Netflix. We've never done Netflix, but we're going to get it and watch this with our kids because it's come recommended. I heard that the land just appears instantly. The earth didn't evolve over, you know, planetary evolution over billions of years, but the land appears just like the Bible says.
That's right. That's right. And again, a global flood too. It wasn't some local flood, and it was an ark that was realistic looking. Now, there were some flaws. One of them I'll mention regarding Noah's ark that had a leak. Now, I don't remember reading that part in, you know, the early chapters of Genesis.
Noah's leaky ark.
Yeah, there's a leaky ark.
Hollywood needs some drama.
Got to give it kind of that Titanic effect, you know. There's some danger in this
I'm
and
sure
that.
There was enough drama in the real
I'm
ark.
Sure there was real drama there. And, but, you know, hey, the ark is almost as big as the Titanic. You know, overall, again, I thought it was pretty good.
Hey, Fred, the fact that they didn't show a local flood, because there are a lot of Christians who they say they want to be true to the Bible, but they say, well, it was a local flood. And if it was a local flood, why would God tell Noah to build an ark and have all the animals come to the ark? Why not just go like downstream or upstream a few miles, wait till the rain stops? Why build this ark, bring all the animals to it two by two, and so all that's crazy. You know that ministry? Well,
the rainbow, right? What was the rainbow all about? A promise of not sending another flood. So if it was a local flood, what's with all these rainbows? You know, these poor people have been caught in a local flood. They're looking up the rainbow.
What
so much for
point.
Your promise?
And the Bible says that the mountains were covered in water. Mm-hmm. It's funny when you draw a picture of mountains and you cover them with water and you say it was a local flood.
Yeah.
It's like, well, water doesn't really do that unless it's frozen. Fred, you know that ministry, some Christians say they believe in God and the Bible, but the earth is billions of years old, the Big Bang and all this. And one of those ministries is Hugh Ross, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hugh Ross, his reasons to
leave. I met you when you debated Hugh Ross group in Denver.
In Denver, that's right. In his group, Reasons to Leave, right? And he says that the flood was local.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thankfully, the History Channel's program, they got it right. It's obvious the Bible says it was a global flood.
Yeah, and if you go as far as theistic evolutionists who don't even believe in a literal Adam and Eve, well, on the program, they had a real Adam and Eve. They were real people. Mm. They had a real Cain killing a real Abel.
Remember Christianity Today? You and I did a show on their cover story where they denied that God made Adam. This is Christianity Today.
Mm-hmm.
God did not make Adam from the dust of the ground. There were no Adam and Eve. There were hundreds or a couple thousand ape-like creatures that God put a soul into. And Fred, it's not only Adam and Eve that goes with that. It's the global flood. It's countless biblical teachings are now rejected. So Christianity Today wanted to mislead their readers.
Oh, absolutely.
And say, look, we're only saying there was no Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah. You know, the resurrection, of course, that's the most important historical event ever. I thought that was pretty well covered in the movie. It was very dramatic. They spent quite a bit of time on it, and I thought it was well done. Again, there's some flaws in the movie. They were politically correct in a few places, like Sodom.
They had Sodom and Gomorrah getting destroyed.
But
that's great.
They didn't mention that they were a homosexual crowd.
They destroyed it because the Happy Meals, they were one fry short in the Happy Meals.
Yeah, Happy Meals. That's they were Oakland Raider
homosexuals
fans.
Homosexuals say that. They take a Bible verse and they try to use it to destroy the entire context and purpose of the warning of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they say it had nothing to do with their sexual perversion. It only had to do with their hospitality. So they have a Bible verse, but you're not supposed to use the Bible against the Bible. You're supposed to take the whole counsel of God.
That's they left that part out.
Not
you know,
surprising.
There's things that you always watch in a movie. They can only cram so much in 10 hours worth. And
yeah.
Other things that you'd like to see done differently. But overall, I would recommend it. You know, it encouraged me to go look up, oh, is that really how this account happened?
Yeah.
You know, it had Samson and Delilah. Now, they made her like she was regretting. That was another thing I thought was a flaw that she kind of regretted.
The Bible doesn't seem to indicate that. So you got Delilah. In fact, you could win a bet about that if you ask people, who cut off Samson's hair? You can say, I'll bet you $5 that you don't know. And they bet you $5.
And they'll think it's Delilah.
And they'll say Delilah, and it wasn't.
It wasn't her.
It was a servant.
That's right.
At her instruction.
Yeah, and they got that part right in the movie.
Oh, they did.
They did.
That's
yeah.
impressive. They must have read the Bible to get the script. How about Satan?
Satan. Now, they say that Satan looked like Obama, and in fact, it's true. He really did.
You know, I saw pictures of him all over the place in the media. And it looked like Obama to me.
It really does. I mean, I saw it before I actually saw the show because they showed a picture on, I think, the Drudge Report or something, because we were recording him and watching him later.
Well, and do you remember King Tut's exhibit? It came to Denver. It was at the Denver Art Museum for a while.
Yep. Never saw it, but yeah.
Yeah, we went with our kids, homeschool field trip. In the bookstore, they have the official King Tut book that goes with the King Tut exhibit. This is sponsored by National Geographic. On the cover is King Tut. A spitting image of Barack Obama. I mean, spitting. I held it up in the bookstore and I say, does anybody think this is Barack Obama? And everybody laughed. And
oh, did they?
Of course. And so we have it on our website, Fred. It's Barack Tut Obama Common. And the image, it's just hysterical. So I wonder if the producer here, Mark Burnett, if they did that on purpose.
Well, you wonder. And it's funny, too, because King Herod, he looked a lot like that liberal governor of New Jersey, Christie.
Oh, Chris Christie.
Yeah. Looked like him.
You know, speaking of Mark Burnett, who produced this, we had our PR person, public relations marketing person for 10 years on Bob Inert Live, went out to California to meet Mark Burnett. He is the father of reality TV, which is a reason why we really don't like him.
Yeah.
He created Survivors. He wrote a book on reality TV. And so our public relations guy went out and met with Mark Burnett and pitched a show, not Bob Inert Live reality show, but something we do, pitched a marital counseling, Christian biblical marriage counseling. And Fred, you know, when they suggested it to me, and I thought, that's a weird idea. But as we talked it through, there's almost nothing in human experience as riveting and traumatic. I mean, you are talking Shakespearean drama and tragedy and comedy and from the depths of despair.
So you do this,
reconciliation.
Right? You're a marriage counselor, a Christian marriage counselor,
well,
right?
Well, even to this very week, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, he, not being a Christian, I don't think he could comprehend.
Yeah.
And it's probably better that he didn't like the idea anyway. He passed.
He passed. Yeah. Do you think a lot of Christians would actually do it?
It doesn't matter if it's Christians or non-Christians.
Oh, okay.
Because I've done marriage counseling for both.
Oh, you've done for both. Okay.
And I try to lead non-Christians to the Lord during the marriage counseling. Quite often, it's one spouse is a Christian, the other's not, and that creates havoc and misery. But also between Christians, misery often.
Mm-hmm.
And so biblical principles applied. It's riveting. It's shocking. It's exhausting. It's exhilarating. It's all that.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
Do you remember there was a different miniseries? I remember where I was. So this was right after Columbine, 1999. It was NBC's Noah's Ark. Did you ever hear about that?
I did. John Voight was, I think, Noah in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Noah's cousin Lot.
That was horrific.
So Noah's cousin Lot was in another ship, and he was bombarding him with balls of fire or something.
Catapults. He was a pirate.
He was a pirate.
Arg. Arg. Arg, matey.
Was that in the days of Peg Leg?
Now, Fred, that's funny. The days of Peg Leg. You said Peg Leg.
You said pirate. I said, okay, Bible movies in the days of Peg Leg.
That is all right. Now, we're going to have to tell the audience about Peg Leg.
Okay.
Because the Bible says after the global flood, then there are some centuries leading up to the Tower of Babel, then to the time of Abraham's father, Terah, and then Isaac and Jacob. A bit before Abraham is the days of Peleg. The Bible says, in his days, the earth was divided. And his name means to divide.
To divide.
And so I remember years ago reading that and thinking, now, what does that mean? Because it seems clear from the text, it's not the Tower of Babel. It's not the global flood. So what could have happened that the Bible would say the earth was divided? Thanks to Walt Brown's work on the hydroplate theory, it's so exciting to be able to understand the history of the world. Mm-hmm. After the flood, the continents were raised up high out of the water, and they gradually sunk back into the crust of the earth. And that's why around mountain ranges, you have plateaus where the land rose up a mile, 2 miles above the rest of the continents. As the mountains sunk in, the plateaus rose up. And as the continents sunk in, then the water level of the ocean rose. And as that water level rose, it covered the land bridges that connected the continents and some of the archipelagos, the chains of islands. And so early in the first centuries after the flood, animals were able to disperse around the world over land bridges.
Over land bridges.
And so were human beings.
Yeah, the land bridge between Australia and Indonesia, I mean, it's very shallow through there.
Yes, and how about Russia? And Alaska.
Yep.
And so many land bridges are covered when the ocean sea level rises just a little bit, as in just a few hundred feet or so. And so, Fred, that's what was happening. After the flood, the continents are sinking back into the crust of the earth, and sea level is rising.
And it's causing a division.
Division. So in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. And men could no longer simply go visit their cousins. They had to build ships and travel across now channels.
Yeah, well, I'd always go back and read the Bible after watching some of those episodes on that History Channel program. Now I got to go back and read it again because I'm telling you it's Peg Leg. You're telling me it's Peg Leg, so I'll go verify that.
And so in this Answers magazine here, they have a little comic, Fred, and I think it's hysterical because the cover story of this issue is on the Ice Age. Mm-hmm. And I know that we have a bit of a disagreement with AIG on the Ice Age, but this comic is really funny. It shows a frozen mammoth in a museum and people looking at it, and it says millions of years Ice Age.
And then there's a guy with a hairdryer.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years of ice age is what he's saying as he burns off the ice. And it was an age with lots of ice, but not so much age.
That's right. Lots of ice, not so much age. And there's plenty of evidence for that.
Tons of evidence.
As there is evidence, maybe later in the show, we'll get to that claimed fossil reefs, the ancient fossil reefs, which they say, look at all these layers. Here there's an ancient reef. And we know that reef took hundreds of thousands of years to grow, and it's stacked between all these different sedimentary layers, the strata. So obviously all this strata is millions of years old, and it turns out it's all bogus. The whole argument is bogus.
Completely bogus.
So it'll be fun to get to that, but that's one example of where they claim millions of years ago, and these things lasted centuries, not millions of years. There's a fascinating question of how do you start an ice age?
How do you start an ice age?
Yeah.
You make something really warm and something really cool?
Well, yeah, people think, well, if it's real cold, if the Earth gets real cold, you have an ice age.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
It's not.
To have an ice age, huge swaths of continents have to be covered hundreds of feet thick in ice.
That's right.
Huge swaths, like we're talking tens of thousands of square miles of North America and Europe and Asia covered in massive glaciers. I mean, practically continent-sized glaciers.
And there's a mechanism that can do that.
If the Earth just gets really cold, you're not going to have the ice build up because it's not going to rain or snow. There won't be precipitation.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get precipitation, you need tremendous evaporation from the oceans. And when the whole Earth is cold, that evaporation virtually comes to a standstill.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot build up these ice sheets if the whole Earth is cold. So what do you need?
A warm ocean?
You need warm oceans and cold continents.
Interesting.
And that is a combination that really everybody has a hard time with,
mm-hmm.
except for Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. It explains after the fountains of the Great Deep broke forth, which started the global flood, and then the crust of the Earth cracked, the water came up very hot. And not to get into a detailed discussion, because we do entire shows on this, but there was what was called the compression event, which rose up the mountain ranges within minutes and hours,
mm-hmm.
not over millions of years.
Mm-hmm.
So as the continents in the compression event thickened and rose up out of the water, and so the continents had high altitude and they were cold.
So high altitude, which is
cold
colder.
Continents.
Yep.
Like Leadville in
and they're getting
Colorado.
Precipitation from the warm oceans.
In warm oceans.
Producing all the precipitation that you need to, you know, start forming this ice.
Exactly right. So I'm so thankful as Christians who read the Bible, we're able to understand even the ice age.
That's right. And I'm not thankful about the ice, but, you know.
No.
I was in an ice storm once in Missouri and it was horrible.
Oh, an ice storm.
You know,
storm.
Just think ice storm and, you know, hey, it was layers thick of ice.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine that going on these continents is all that was happening.
Mm-hmm. So, Fred, how about another story in this great issue of Answers Magazine on plants?
Yeah. Plant rights. So there's going to be a new document, a new declaration, the Emancipation of Vegetation. I mean, liberals are, oh, man.
Yeah, this comes
and
out
Ecuador's
of
even, they've actually created constitutional rights for plants.
For plants.
A country has.
And, Fred, we've been talking about this on Bob and Yurt Live, which is this show the rest of the week. Monday through Thursday, Bob and Yurt Live. On Thursdays, in fact, we do TheologyThursday.com. And on Friday, Real Science Radio.
Mm-hmm.
But so the rest of the week, Bob and Yurt Live, we've been airing this since 1991, and we've talked through all of this. When they raise animal rights, they denigrate human rights.
Mm-hmm.
There is this inverse relationship. And so not only do they say animals have rights, which is not true. Humans have a responsibility to not torture animals, torment them, especially unnecessarily for entertainment. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. The Bible says that the righteous man is kind to his animals. You know, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But you don't intentionally torture animals. Well, animals don't have rights. Rather, humans have responsibilities toward animals.
That's right.
If you wanted to insist animals have rights, you'd have to say, okay, they have the right to be hunted, killed, cooked, and eaten.
So, Bob, what about PETA? You know, people for, I'd say, eating tasty animals.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that knucklehead group. I mean, they say that it's okay to kill a fetus, but they don't like it if you kill a rat fetus.
A fetal pig? If you kill that, it's immoral.
Yeah.
But a fetal baby, a boy or
no,
girl,
that's okay.
Fine.
I mentioned that to a guy that came to my door once. You know, he was selling that stuff. You know, they try to get you to buy the stuff that cleans your sidewalks and this
okay.
and that. And they do a demo for you and all that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was a little bit interested. And then he mentioned that, oh, yeah, by the way, this goes towards United Way and PETA.
Which is pro-abortion. Oh, and
yeah,
PETA?
Yeah, you're right about United Way, too, by the way. I didn't know that at the time.
Oh, people eating tasty animals?
No, people for the ethical treatment of animals.
That's,
so as soon as he said that, I told him about how bad PETA was.
Yeah, good.
You know, what we just talked about with the rat fetuses and human fetuses.
Yeah.
Double standard. And also about how they go and they splash water around while these kids are trying to fish that Make-A-Wish Foundation. You know, they're sick children that
are trying
fish
to fish that, and PETA tries to ruin it.
Yeah. This is the
and
whole, Fred, evil
and it's
group.
Ironic, their name, PETA. I mean, that's the bread that you put meat in order to eat it, right?
that's true.
And if God didn't want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat.
Yeah.
And I love animals. They're delicious. So yeah. I don't know what they're talking about.
The rights that they give animals over people is just astounding. It's such a double standard.
Yeah. And so they advocate dismembering unborn boys and girls, literally children. Mm-hmm. And so it's not only animal rights, it's tree rights, you know, forest, don't cut down this tree.
Yeah.
On YouTube, you have people crying that a tree is going to be cut. Now, trees are renewable resources.
That's right.
And I realize there's old growth issues, but we could cut down trees as we're planting trees mm-hmm. and manage the forest reserves and all. But so there's animal rights. There's plant rights. Fred, I'm not kidding. There's insect rights. I remember a columnist in the Miami Herald saying if you see animals swarming on the highway, because this is a season, they said, mm-hmm. that's why I don't live in Florida. They swarm. She said, pull off the road and wait for the swarm to pass.
Oh, unbelievable.
And after the swarm is gone, if you start driving, there will be stragglers. So look for them and avoid them.
Yeah, avoid them, swerve and hit another car.
Yeah,
they won't mind that.
These are mentally ill. These are, you know, sin drives you to stupidity and mental illness.
Yeah.
And also rocks. Rocks have rights. Dirts have rights. These are dirt worshipers. People who worship nature and Mother Earth. They are dirt worshipers and bug worshipers.
Well, this article mentions a lawyer in the United States is going to file lawsuits to secure plant rights. Can you imagine being the lawyer for that? I mean, that would actually be a pretty easy job. Your Honor, my client here pleads the fifth, Your Honor.
this is a good one. Speaking of rights and how animals have rights, they say, but babies don't. I have here, we read a lot of journal articles on this mm-hmm. show, science journals. Well, this here is, you hear that? That's the Journal of Medical Ethics, published out of London.
I remember that story.
Yeah, and isn't this horrific? This is from February 2012, and the paper is titled Afterbirth Abortion. And this is real.
Mm-hmm.
These authors are advocating, and they got a lot of support for this, including in Colorado and around the world, in Princeton and elsewhere, Discover Magazine, the New York Times. Afterbirth abortion, why should the baby live? And the abstract is horrific. I'd like to read you just the abstract. It says this: abortion is largely accepted, even for reasons that do not have anything to do with the fetus health. By showing that both fetuses and newborns do not have the same moral status as actual persons. You got that?
Yeah.
They're saying a newborn doesn't have the status of a person. The fact that both are potential persons, they're talking about a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You go home from the hospital, you bring
you have your baby.
You put the baby in the crib, mom and dad.
And it's on its way to being a person.
Yeah, they say that baby's not a person. This is why the personhood movement is so vital.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the failure of 30 years of National Right to Life's regulating child killing has backfired. So they say that the fetus and the newborn are potential persons. And that fact is morally irrelevant, they say. And adoption is not always in the best interest of actual people. Like, for example, you might have a newborn and you're the mother and you don't want to adopt the baby out mm-hmm. because you would feel bad. You might feel bad that someone else is raising your baby. So what they say is, the authors argue that what we call afterbirth abortion, that is killing a newborn, should be permissible in all the cases where abortion is, including cases where the newborn is not disabled.
Unbelievable.
This is such wickedness.
Oh, absolutely.
Evil, vilely wicked people. This is why there's a hell. This
yeah,
is why there's a hell.
It is why.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm paraphrasing this, but God said, you know, I didn't command you to throw your kids in the fire, nor did it ever come into my mind. I mean, this is just incredibly wicked.
Yes, yes. Fred, the personhood movement is so vital that people would support American Right to Life. They could just Google American Right to Life or go mm-hmm. to AmericanRTL.org. So vital. And understand why it's wrong to support exceptions. It's wrong to support politicians who have exceptions. It's wrong to advocate for regulations.
That's right.
Like, here's how you can kill the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Wait 24 hours, get parental permission, do this, give him a painkiller, check for that, then you can kill the baby.
And it shouldn't be a matter of geography where you're going to kill the baby, right?
Oh, you mean like the partial birth abortion?
Yeah, or states' rights.
States' rights,
you know,
right?
How McCain.
Yeah, John McCain and Mitt Romney saying, yeah, well, Mitt, if California,
right.
If they want to kill babies there, then I support their right to kill babies there because that's states' rights. Well, these are human rights.
Yeah, they're human rights. Is there a county? I don't know what they were in Germany, counties or states. Is there a state that they're going to allow to kill Jews in other states?
Good point. In Germany, yeah, districts or states, like just imagine in Germany, they say, well, killing Jews is a states' rights issue. And if Berlin wants to kill Jews, then, well, then that's their right.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
And all you Ron Paul supporters out there, this is what he believes.
That is exactly right. In fact, ProLifeProfiles.com.
Oh, that's a great site.
Go there, click on the Personhood Never leaders,
mm-hmm.
and you will be shocked to read Ron Paul's profile. Just shocked.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, Fred, sometimes creation science spills over into other areas of morality.
And vice versa.
History, theology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They justify abortion with, you know, evolution. So that topic bleeds into this topic that we talk about often here.
Do we have time to talk about snakes?
Well, yeah, we've been talking about it, snakes, you know, Obama and Ron Paul.
Mitt Romney.
Yep, Mitt Romney. So what about, you know, the mamba, the black mamba. Now, that's a nasty snake.
Now, speaking of nasty snakes, let me just say
okay. One
thing about Mitt Romney, because we'll have listeners who will be in shock.
Okay.
They think he's pro-life, pro-family.
Oh.
Mitt Romney was the father of homosexual marriage. He aggressively mm-hmm. implemented it himself.
Aggressively, yes.
Don't believe his campaign. They lied. Big shock. Mitt Romney is the architect of Obamacare. Mitt Romney introduced RomneyCare, which was tax-funded abortion on demand.
Yes, absolutely.
Horrific things Mitt Romney did. And so basically we were lied to by partisan politicians into thinking he was Christian. But that's why you just called him a snake.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, Fred, so how about this mamba snake? What about it?
Yeah, so the mamba, and this one's talking about the black mamba, which is incredibly poisonous. I mean, it has a really fast-acting toxin. Definitely don't want to get bit by one of these. Some of the chemicals that are mixed in with its venom is actually non-toxic, and they're finding that they're incredibly powerful painkillers. I don't know if there's a tie here to, you know, the fall of creation and the snakes before the fall and this and that.
Well,
and maybe the advantages that they had before then.
Very possibly, Fred, these snake venom medicines, they have this advantage in that they don't have the negative side effects of morphine and other narcotics. So God, when he created, you know, he created the world in such a brilliant way with all this symbiotic relationship
mm-hmm.
that we only learn just the tiniest little bit of what he's given to us. So what another great article. So thank you, Fred, for another episode of Real Science Radio.
Thanks, Bob. It was a lot of fun.
It really was. Our website, realscienceradio.com. Please check out our store. Just click on the store. That will help us stay on the air. And who knows, we'd like to enter another market, but it's going to cost like $10,000 for a year to get into one additional city. And so if there's anybody out there who would like to underwrite that, please let us know. You could donate online or call us at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. May God bless you. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. At Real Science Radio, we have a great science store. You can get great science materials from us, DVDs, debates, books, online, realscienceradio.com. Click on the store or by calling us 1-800-8-ENYART.